It's good to see everyone out this morning. We do have several visitors with us. We want to welcome you back every afternoon and come worship with us. We do have those that are out of town as well. Do remember those that are away. I forgot to mention to Ed this morning, the reason why Justina's not here is that Emily's has been dealing. I'm worried she might have a ear infection, so she was going to the urgent care this morning to kind of get everything checked out. So if you could just continue to remember Emily's in your thoughts and prayers also this morning. Brother Austin read for us from Acts chapter 1, verse 1 down to verse 3. And in particular, we want to look at verse 3 this morning and talking about many infallible proofs. Luke is writing here, making a letter to Theophilus. He points out in verse 3 to, about Jesus Christ, who became alive, suffered many infallible proofs, being seen by them, being seen by many followers of his, many disciples of his, during the 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. We want to talk about many infallible physical proofs this morning. Because when we talk about a lesson in proving all things, one thing is certain is that we need facts. You know, in our court system, physical facts can go an incredibly long way. We have physical proof that someone might have committed some sort of action. We can be able to prove having the physical facts, we're able to prove the innocence or guilt more of a person. Whether it's hearing, whether it's the appearance, whether it's even a feeling. And such is the case of the Lord. You know, as we look, he was with them for 40 days after he arose from the grave. Many eyewitnesses saw him. Many eyewitnesses heard him. Some even felt him. And they had the proof that they needed. With this physical proof, as we think about this morning, it leads to so much more proof through testimony to those who have the physical proof. And it's been passed on to us to this day. And it's been inspired by God, as we read in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, that all Scripture is given or is breathed by inspiration of God. And we want to open our Bibles this morning and talk about these many infallible proofs. Again, kind of think about what's said there in Acts chapter 1, verse 3. I want you to begin all thinking with me this morning about the hearing proof. We understand the importance of hearing. If you go back to Matthew chapter 13. And in Matthew chapter 13, let's look at verses 14 and verse 15 together. Matthew chapter 13, verse 14 and verse 15. Matthew chapter 13, verse 14 and verse 15. Read, and in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. We understand the importance. Jesus, he was pointing out, here it is. Prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled. These people that were here, that were hearing his these parables, he said their ears have grown dull. What does that mean? They're unwilling to hear in most cases. We see this going on in the Lord's church today as well. Sometimes we see that going on in the world. We see the importance of hearing. I had when I was working down in Arkansas, I had this older gentleman that I worked with overnights, and his name was Ray. Ray was a character. And we would be looking at some different things and talk about different things, and he would try to point out some of the things while we were working, so some of the things that he noticed, and maybe some safety precautions and different things. And if you disagreed with Ray, the next thing out of his mouth was, he ain't hear me, boss. He always called me boss. I don't know why he was that. But he always did it. He said, "You ain't hearing me, boss." You know, and pointed out again. Then someone would say, "Well, you ain't hearing. You say that to anybody. You just ain't hearing me." And so, a lot of times Ray was right. Jesus pointed out the need of hearing. You need to hear. You need to listen. You need to open your ears. Because the ears have grown dull. You need to open your ears to the teaching, to the lesson, to the doctrine of Jesus Christ. The apostles write about the great need of hearing since the beginning. When Jesus Christ came into the world, we look in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1. Look at what here in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life." You know, as John is writing it, he points out, in the beginning we have heard. The word was in the beginning. If you go back to John chapter 1, verse 1 down to verse 5. Not only does 1 John point this out in the very first verse, but in the first five verses of John chapter 1, kind of mentioning some similar things. Talking about Jesus Christ who was in the beginning. We speak about the Word. It's speaking about Jesus Christ here. And in John chapter 1, verse 1 down to verse 5. John chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." Again, speaking about Jesus Christ here in the beginning, the apostles wrote about it. The Word that was in the beginning was Jesus Christ, who was with God in the beginning of all things, in the creation process. He was there. And light and darkness, they couldn't comprehend. Darkness couldn't comprehend the light. Again, we point out the need to be able to hear. We have the hearing proof of Jesus Christ. You know, you think about Jesus Christ, you think about those that have heard Him. Think about those on the road to Emmaus with me. If you go over to Luke chapter 24. And in Luke chapter 24, let's look at verse 17. Luke chapter 24, verse 17. Luke chapter 24, verse 17. It says, "And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" Those on the road to Emmaus, they heard the Lord. Jesus spoke to them. He said, "Why are you sad?" They didn't realize at that point in time that it was the Lord. But later it became aware to them. If you go down to verse 36 of this same chapter, it says, "Now, as they said these things, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, 'Peace to you.'" Later it became aware that the one that was speaking to those on the road to Emmaus was Jesus. Jesus spoke after His death to the apostles, to the disciples. They heard. You know, Peter. We learned about Peter. Peter, what did he do when Jesus got arrested? Well, he denied the Lord, didn't he? But later on, when Peter was one of those witnesses that saw Jesus arise from the dead, he could not deny the Lord while standing trial. If you look over in Acts chapter 4 and verse 20. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 20, notice what he says here. He's standing trial. He's got the council that is going after him, trying to stop him from preaching the name of Jesus. And in verse 20 of Acts chapter 4, Peter says here, "For we cannot speak, but speak the things which we have seen and we have heard." They were trying to stop Jesus, or trying to stop Peter from, and John, the apostles, from preaching the name of Jesus. They thought they had finished everything off when they put him to the cross. But here's Peter, continuing to preach, and he says, "I cannot, we cannot stop speaking about Jesus because we have seen this. We have heard this. We have the proof that we need to continue on. We know, we have heard Jesus before his, after his resurrection. They heard the voice of Jesus say, 'Come, see, teach, baptize, preach.'" They heard all these things that Jesus had commanded them and told them to do. So they have, we can talk about the many infallible physical proofs, and talking about the apostles, they had the physical proof of hearing. But let's also continue on. How about the appearance proof? Again, if you go back to John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, the things that we have seen, the things that we have handled, the things that we have heard. We read about all the different proofs, all the different things that are mentioned here. We have the different types of that Jesus was there. And again, John writing about the things that we have looked upon, things that we have handled with our own hands concerning the Word of life. They had seen with their own eyes. The Hebrew author also proclaimed these things over in Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. Hebrew author writes here, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect." I read verse, I kind of got a little ahead of myself. Verse 10. Verse 9. "We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for it." That sounds a little bit better. The Hebrew author proclaims, "We see Jesus. We have seen the Lord." Again, Luke writes, the infallible proof, the undeniable proof that we have at our fingers, that we have seen by seeing with our own eyes. You know, it's one thing to say, I've seen something. But if I have someone else, if I have Ed, if I have Corrigan, if I have Dan, or you know, I have these different, if I have this different folks saying the same, they've seen this thing as well with me, it becomes a little bit harder to deny it. It's not just one person that saw Jesus, but a multitude of followers. You got Mary Magdalene. You go over to Mark chapter 16, verse 9. We have different folks that are mentioned in the Bible that saw the Lord after he had risen from the dead, after he was crucified, laid in that tomb, came out of that tomb. Mary Magdalene, one of those individuals that saw this in Mark chapter 16, verse 9. Mark 16, verse 9. "Now when he rose early," speaking of Jesus, when Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, was that he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. So first he came to Mary Magdalene. Then as we continue on, he appeared to fellow apostles over in Luke chapter 24. Again, looking at Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse 33. Luke 24, verse 33. It says, "So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11. Again, Judas had hung himself, so there was 11 apostles left. "And those who were with him gathered, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told him about the things that had happened on the road and about how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. As they said these things, Jesus stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were terrified and frightened, and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your heart? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed him his hands and his feet, but while they still did not believe, for joy and marvel, he said to them, "Have you any food?" So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate in their presence. So again, we see more and more people, got more and more proof, got the 11 apostles. Mary Magdalene had come, had been appeared. Then we have Thomas. Remember Thomas? We're going to talk more about Thomas here in just a few moments. But here, "See me," is what Jesus said to Thomas. "Here I am, see me, touch me, feel me." The appearance that he made to Thomas. In verse 26 of John chapter 20, it says, "After 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with him. Jesus stood, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, 'Peace to you.'" So not only Thomas, so you know, we got all these different individuals. How about over 500 other individuals? Does that seem like that would be a good enough amount of people for proof? Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And verse 3 down to verse 6. We got 500 individuals that Jesus appeared to, that many have testified saying, "We have seen the appearance of the Lord." In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 down to verse 6, Paul writes, he says, "For I deliver to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12, and after that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep." We have 500 individuals, 500 disciples that saw the Lord with their own eyes and was able to testify to give that infallible proof of the appearance of the Lord. If Jesus were to appear to you, would you believe? If you saw him go through what he went through and arose, is that not proof of that? Again, Peter said, "We cannot deny what we have seen or what we have heard," in Acts 4, verse 20. Here it is, as we talk about this in Fell, the appearance proof. Here it is, the Lord appeared to them. They saw him with their own eyes, yet, and also they heard him with their own ears. Is that not proof enough? But again, Mitch, we talk about the touch proof. I want to talk about that just briefly here also this morning. The apostles had the opportunity to handle the Lord. If you go again, I want to go back again to 1 John. Chapter 1, verse 1. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life." The apostles had an opportunity to handle, to touch the Lord. Before he went to the cross, he was there with them. Spent a lot of time. They had an opportunity to be able to touch him. They saw others touch him and see the miracles that had taken place. They had these options. Then after Jesus went to the cross and was crucified and was laid in that tomb, and he arose from that, they have opportunity to be able to handle him, to touch him after he arose from the grave. Again, we look in Luke chapter 24. Go back again to Luke 24. We read this verse a moment ago, but again, draw your attention back to Luke 24 and verse 39. Look what Jesus says here, saying this to those that were in the midst of him. He said, "Behold my hands." What happened to his hands? Well, he had the nails driven in his hands. "Behold my feet. Handle and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." They knew that Jesus died. Some of them saw from afar off that Jesus had died. They knew he was dead. They knew what was supposed to happen when one died. Your physical being is no more. But here he came in the physical form to them. "Here's my hands. Touch me. Handle me. Believe in me." Again, we mentioned Thomas. If you go back to John chapter 20. And in John chapter 20, verse 27 and verse 28. John chapter 20, verse 27 and verse 28. Jesus had come to the disciples. "And Thomas, I need to see it. I need to be able to believe in it." In verse 27, Jesus said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands. Put it into my side." What happened to his side? Well, we read about the centurion pierced his side. "Put your hand here into my side that was pierced. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." There's the proof. Jesus said, here's the proof you need. I've arisen from the dead. I'm the one who had my hands pierced, my feet pierced. I had my side pierced. Well, think about what happened on the cross. We read about when that centurion put the spear into his side. The soldier put it into his side. That blood and water came out. Again, we look. What did Thomas say? The other disciples, verse 25, if you're still there in John 20, "The other disciples therefore said to him, 'We have seen the Lord.' So Thomas said to them, 'Unless I see in his hand the print of the nails, put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.'" There's what Thomas said. "Here's what I need. For me to believe, I need that touch proof." And what did Jesus do? "Here I am. Touch me. Put it here. I want you to believe. If this is what you need to believe, go ahead and touch me. Put your hand into my side." Could you imagine what that was probably like for Thomas? And he confessed, "In my Lord and my God." As you read verse 29, kind of put a little bit of the personal application into us. We have so many people that saw the Lord, heard the Lord, some were able to even handle the Lord. And Jesus said, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen yet have believed." All this, the touch proof, the appearance proof, the hearing proof, it's all for our benefit. The physical proof is to be able to prove all things. The infallible physical proof. So you go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 with me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. He says, test all things. Hold fast to what is good. The physical proof. To be able to prove all things. Again, the hearing proof, appearance proof, the touch proof. Did you believe? For us today, are you ready to believe? We have so many eyewitnesses that have given personal account of them being able to see the Lord, to hear the Lord, to know that He is truly the Son of God, and we see that it is for our benefit to this day that we can have the hope and promise of eternal life. Are you ready to follow? Have you listened to the Lord and to His commands? Do you understand what you need to do to be able to be saved? Do you know what Jesus Christ has done for us? By giving His life on the cross, He has made the way possible for each of us this morning to have that hope and promise of eternal life. Are you ready to obey this morning? Are you ready to believe in Jesus Christ? Are you ready to repent of your sins? Ready to confess your belief? Ready to be baptized for the remission of your sins? That's what He has taught us. That's what He passed on to the disciples on what one needs to do to be saved. If we can help you in answering the gospel call, or maybe you need to have your soul restored this morning, we'll be glad to pray for you, be glad to assist you. We have the proof that we need in this life to know that Jesus is Lord, that He is the Son of God. Now it's up to us to take it and put it into personal application. And if we can help you this morning, why don't you make it on how we can assist you? You can have a seat on the front. And we'll be glad to assist you, be glad to pray for you, be glad to encourage you, whatever the case may be this morning. If you're ready to do it, and make it known. Please do it now while together, while we stand and while we sing.